We begin the current daven Sechzikzubas daven and vav. We begin 4 lines down from the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf and up from the previous Mishnah, which we had a machlekes between the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah regarding, although a woman that gets widowed or divorced, whether from Erisin or Nisuin receives a ksuba, they had a machlekes regarding the Tosefes, the additional part that he adds on. The Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that that's only after Nisuin, not from Erisin. If she's widowed during Erisin, she gets divorced, then she only gets the primary ksuba. Whereas Tanna Kamma said that even by Erisin, she receives the entire thing, including the Tosefes. So the Gemara says, Halacha l'maisa, what's the halacha? So Yosef Reb Chanina Kara Kamid Reb Yana Bekama. So Reb Chanina Kara, who would recite the psukim, he sat in front of Reb Yana and he said, Halacha k'blaz ben Azariah, halacha falls k'blaz ben Azariah, that the woman does not receive the Tosefes if she's widowed during Erisin. So Amaleis, Reb Yana responded to him, Puk kari karach lebra. Go out and recite your recitals outside. And that is because in halacha kari karach lebra, halacha actually does not follow karach lebra, and that the woman even receives the tesefes even from Erisin. The Gemara continues in saying, Amr Rav Yitzchak bar Avadimi Mishum Rabbeinu, he says the name of Rav, the halacha is karach lebra. Amr Rav Nachman Omer Shmuel, he also says halacha karach lebra. Rav Nachman Didei Amar, however, Rav Nachman himself, who he just said in the name of Shmuel, Halacha falls like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he says, Ein Halacha like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Halacha does not fall like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. But V'Nardoi Mishmid Rav Nachman Amri, however, the Nardians, they said over the name of Rav Nachman, the Halacha is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Now, the Gemara says, V'Avagav Delot Rav Nachman Vamar, even though Rav Nachman cursed and he said, Kol Dain Didoin Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, any judge that judges like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and that does not give the Arusa that was divorced the entire ksub, including the Tosefes, this and this will happen to him, meaning not good things. The Gemara says, in spite of the halacha k'blaz ben Azariah, halacha still follows like k'blaz ben Azariah, that the woman does not get her Tosefes ksuba if it's from Erisin. The Gemara concludes, v'halacha l'maisa, this is the shas, the Gemara itself, meaning the students in the yeshiva, when they were completing the Gemara, they concluded the halacha in practice is Karbala ben Azariah, falls like Karbala ben Azariah, which is again that the woman does not receive the Tosefes Ksubasa if she's coming out of only from Erisin and never had Nisuin. Now, so related to the halacha, the Gemara says, Bayi Ravin. So Ravin asked the following question. Nichnasa l'chupa v'lei nivla mahu. According to Karbala ben Azariah. So he says from Erisin, she's not getting to Tosefes. What would be the halacha if she had chupa, but never yet had bia? As the Gemara explains the question. Is it chibas chuppah kaina? So we said that we're oimedaita, according to Elazar ben Azariah, we assess and we evaluate. He's not adding more money to the ksuba. The rabbi's mandate, even from Erisin, to have that ksuba there. So he's given the ksuba. But adding our money is only when we're going to consummate the relationship. Now, what level of consummation was it that he had this love and desire for her that he's adding on more money? Was it the chiba, the love of the chuppah that's being kind of this Tosefes? As long as we have a chuppah together, or was it only the love of the intimacy that they're going to have of cohabitation, that was what he was being makna to her, the Tosefes. Now, the difference obviously would be if, let's say, she's widowed or divorced after chuppah, before bia. So the Gemara says, Toshma, come in here, because the Tanna Rav Yosef told in the Braisa that it was explaining this halacha of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that he said the reason why she doesn't get from Erisin the Tosefes is because Shleik Kasavla, because he did not write for her this additional Tosefes, Ela Alchibas Laila Harishin, only because of the endearment of the first night. Now, the Gemara explains. Iamet Bishlei Mechibas Chuppah Kain, if you say it's the Chiba, the love of the Chuppah that makes the Kenyan, Haina Da Amr Laila Rishain, that would make sense why that Braisa says it, that it's the first night, because the first night when the Chasn is happening, the wedding is happening, that's the Chuppah. That endearment, that chiba is, oh, we came to that milestone, that's when he wants to give her that additional part. But if you say it's the bia that's being marked, that when they finally have that physical intimacy, but the question is, bia b'layla harishon isa? What, the bia they're only going to have the first night, but then on not anymore? Why is it saying it because of layla harishon? It's not just a layla harishon. It's forever that there's going to be bia. So why, if it was referencing to Chubas Bia, the Chibas Bia, would it be saying that it's only the first night? Obviously, it's a reference to the Chuppah. And it's even as long as you got to the Chuppah, then she gets the Tosefes. On that, the Gemara rejects this raya. The Elamai, so what are you saying? So chuppah, it's a reference to the chuppah. But then you have the same question, but in a different way, not regarding the first in contrast to the rest, but in regards to the fact that it calls it the first night. Chuppah belayla isa, what, you only have a chuppah at nighttime? Be a mamalesa, there's no chuppahs that happen sometime in the afternoon? The halls are rented out even in the afternoon. So on that, the Gemara asks, what do you mean? According to the line of questioning, you're asking my interpretation that it's the chuppah that kaina, because you're saying, what do you mean? Chuppah is only at night, not during the day. But then according to the other interpretation, that's also difficult. Bia balayla isa, what? Cohabitation is only at nighttime, be a mama less, and you can't have during the daytime. But Amar Rava, but Rava said, if it's in a dark house, then it's permitted to have be even during the day. So that question would be even according to you. Why is it calling Laila Rishon? So on that, that man, the Amar, who's claiming that maybe it's the Chibas Bia, says, no, hola kasha, that's not a question. Because Erech Arakamash Malan is just telling us what's the normative practice, the Bia Balayla. Generally, Bia is done at nighttime. But El Chuppah kasha, but Chuppah, the way you're saying that it's the Chibas Chuppah, and that's why you wanted to prove that, so it's only the first night, not for the rest, because the Chuppah you only have one time that first night, then, but that's difficult. Why is it calling it the first night? It could be even during the daytime. So I think my answer is chuppah nami lo kasha. Regarding chuppah is also not difficult. Why it's calling it at nighttime? Because kiven the stam chuppah lebiya kaima, since generally, and that might even be part of the chiba of a chuppah because it's leading towards bia. So ayuch ar kamash malon de belayla. So it's just telling us that the normative practice is to have it at nighttime because since the from the chuppah goes straight into bia, that's why we're calling it laila rishon. But truthfully, laila is not dafka. It could even be during the daytime, but it's the first day that they're spending together, which again is a reference to Chibas Chuppah and not to Chibas Bia. So even if she gets widowed or divorced after Chuppah before the Bia Rishayna, she would still get, even according to Elazar ben Azariah, the Tosefos. Now, however, the Gemara continues on this halacha and asks Boyer Rav Asher. Rav Asher asks, Nichnasa l'chuppah u'pirsa nida. So if we're saying that it's the Chibas Chuppah, so the Gemara asks, let's say she enters into the Chuppah and then she becomes a Nida. And then, so he separates from her because he cannot have bia with a nida. And then he dies. So ma, what's the halacha? So Gemara explains the question. Im temzer lo mechibas chuppah kain, if you're going to say, as we just concluded before, that it's the endearment of a chuppah that acquires for her the tosefes, is it chuppah dechazi labia? Is that only a chuppah that's fit to then move on now that we are married, now that we can have bia? But a chuppah that's not fit for bia, which is in the case of a nida, then that would not cause him to feel so endeared to her and indebt himself for the tesefes. Maybe it doesn't make a difference. Still, they're still having chuppah. So even if it's not chazi labia, he would still be giving over the tesefes at that point. I think we'll just take a let it stand. It's not clear what would be the halacha in what's called chuppah nida, that if the woman is a nida at that point and it's not fit for bia, if according to Blazim and Azariah, that we're concluding it's Chibas Chuppah Kaina, if that would also be Kaina or not. Now the Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah, where the Mishnah moves into a different phase regarding the halacha of discussing the Ksuba, which a Basula gets Masayim and Amona gets Amona. Rabbi Yudaim, he said, if the man doesn't want to give the Basula 200 or the Amona Amona, so what he can do is Kaisel the Basula Bechula, he writes for the Basula that you're getting a Ksuba of 200. And she writes back a receipt, I received 100, meaning I received half of it, even though she never received anything, and that way he'll only have to pay 100. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, V'savar Rabbi Yehuda de Kais and Shaiba, does Rabbi Yehuda hold that when there is a debt, that then if one writes a receipt, when half of it is paid up, or at least forgiven, which that's what it seems to be suggesting in our Mishnah, where he says, okay, you have to write 200, but she writes a receipt. Now, on that, the Gemara has about Tanan, but we learned the Mishnah Masechta Baba Basra that says, Misha par miktas chayva. If somebody paid up half his debt, so Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he says, Yachlev. He says, what they do is they switch documents, meaning they write a new document for the remainder of the debt, and they rip up the first document. And what he's essentially saying is that we do not write a receipt, because a receipt would make it worse for the borrower, because now what would happen is that the lender would still have the full debt that this borrower owes him. It's just that now the borrower has his own document, this receipt, saying that, oh, but he paid up 100 of it. The problem is he's going to have to then watch that receipt from mice and different elements, which if it gets ruined, then the lender will still be able to collect from him the full amount. So Rita says, no, we don't write for him a receipt. Rather, we take the original lender's document, we tear it up, and write a new document for half the amount or whatever amount that he had paid up. Whereas Abisim, he says, no, yichdav leishaver. He says, we write a receipt because he's concerned about what's going to happen to the lender. Because if we go ahead and we tear it up and write a new document, like Rabbi Huda said, then the lender loses his ability to collect from the earlier time that he had lent it. Because when a person lends a person money, so all the person's money becomes indebted to him to pay up that debt. Now, more than that is his assets have a lien on it. If he sells that off, so the purchasers, if there's no more money by the borrower, he can go ahead and collect from the purchaser and say there was a lien on it, it was indebted to me. But if we create a new date, let's say 2 years later, he pays up some of it, and we write a new document, he's only going to be able to collect from that time, not from the previous time, and therefore, he's concerned about the malva, in contrast to Rebuda, who's concerned about the laiva, and therefore, he says, we write a receipt. Now, but one thing we see is that Rebuda says, we do not write a receipt, because we don't want the person who is the receiver of the receipt to have to hold on to that document to protect it. Yet in our Mishnah, he says that is the way you do it, that the husband writes the full kesubah, and then the woman writes from a receipt, and then he has to hold on to a receipt. But why aren't we concerned? Why shouldn't we write over a document of 100? Now the husband always has to hold on to this receipt of 100, because or else his wife could collect all 200 from the ksuba. So the Gemara gives two answers. Amar Birmiya, he says, Kesha Shavarta Mitoicha. We're talking about that the receipt is actually in the ksuba itself. Meaning, so when she comes in front of Bezdin with her ksuba of 200, she will not be able to collect all 200 because in that ksuba of 200, it says inside that I hereby admit that I already paid up 100 of it and she signs. Now, the whole reason why Rabbi Huda says that we do not write a receipt is because we don't want the borrower to have to protect it from the elements, and because if something happens to it, then the lender will come with the full document and collect the whole thing. And here you don't have that concern, again, as we said, because if she's going to come with the document, she's not going to be able to collect with the ksuba, because the ksuba itself writes, let's say on the bottom, there's an addendum that says that he already paid off half of it. That's one approach. Abayom, he says, you could even say that the receipt is not written in the document of the ksuba itself. Now, the reason is that because so then you run back to the problem of Rabbi Huda. So if it's not written in the thing itself, so then the husband's going to have to hold on and to protect the receipt. So why aren't we concerned? So that Rabbi Huda holds because that receipt, Rabbi Huda is not concerned that if the mice get to it or something happens to it. Because Bishlema Hasam, it makes sense over there by the case of that Mishnah in Baba Basra regarding a loan. With Vadle Pare, there definitely what happened is that there was someone that lent someone money and he paid up half of it. Now, if so, if he's going to have to hold on to a receipt, Dilma Mirkas Tavarta, maybe his receipt is going to get ruined. It just got lost. It was flying around the house. Now, it got burnt. It got lost. Umapikle Lishtara. Now, the lender is going to come with the old document. Vahadagav is Imnachrina. Now, he's going to come and collect that part that was paid up and he's going to collect it again because, look, I have a document. You owe me this amount. Oh, you say that you paid up some of it to show the receipt. So therefore, we don't write a receipt. But Abaye says, Hacha vada yohevla. What do you mean? In this case, the husband definitely gave something to the wife. He didn't give her anything. He didn't. He didn't pay up half. Milsa ba'alma hi da'amrele. This is just words that he told her because he didn't want to have to pay more than half the ksuba. So she, because she really wanted to get married to him, she agreed to him. And therefore, since he didn't really pay up anything, so inatri natri, if he safeguards this receipt, then he safeguards it. Iloi natri, ihu hudavsa natri, but if it doesn't safeguard it, he's creating the loss for himself, which essentially means to say that if you were a real person with a real debt that was paid up real money, yes, we're concerned for you and we don't want to have you have that loss, therefore we don't institute shevaris, receipts. But here, you didn't really pay up your ksuba. You just didn't want to go out and spend that much money. And she agreed to that. So fine, we'll give you a receipt. But if you lose it, we're not that concerned because you anyway were copping out of what you really had to do. So even though halachically you could do it, but that's if you hold on to your receipt. If not, not. Now the Gemara explains. Bishlam Abaya lo amak Rabbi Yirmiya. We understand that Abaya didn't say like Rabbi Yirmiya, who he said that it's because it's fundamentally different in every receipt because the receipt is written in the ksuba itself. Now, the reason is because loy ketani shevarta mitoicha, because That's not what it says in our halacha. That when Yehuda says that we that she writes that she writes that she that he paid her off half of it, it doesn't say that the receipt's inside of it. And that would be a very fundamental principle if that was the halacha, because generally he holds you do not write shebars. So that's what he doesn't say like Rabbi Yirmiya. But the question is, Rabbi Yirmiya, my time alone with Abaya. Why didn't Rabbi Yirmiya say like Abaya that there's a fundamental difference between the two cases, and that the general concern of a shaver is when someone really paid up something. Here there wasn't really anything paid up, so why wouldn't we say that? So the Gemara answers, because Rabbi Yirmiya is concerned that gzeira shaver dahacha, we're concerned that if we allow a receipt in this case, which you're right, here maybe we wouldn't be so concerned, atu shaver diyama. Because then we might come to get used to writing receipts in a regular situation of, let's say, real debt and real lenders and borrowers, where then we could run into the problem. Therefore, he didn't want to say that that would be Rabbi Yehuda's agreement to say in our halacha that you write a regular shaver, because he would be concerned for other cases where definitely we would not want to have a shaver, and therefore he answered that means shivarta mitaycha. Nothing more continues explaining this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda of the Mishnah, that the Gemara makes the following diuk, the following inference in the way he set it up, how a woman could end up only getting 100 of her ksuba, not 200, by writing to the husband that, oh, you pay his kabalti, I already received half, even though she didn't. Now, the Gemara says, time, the kustvali, it sounds like that the reason is because she wrote to him, aval al peh, but it was only orally, which they just made up amongst themselves. They made a condition that the ksuba you're going to get is only going to be 100, then that would not be a valid tanai. The reason being is because, sounds like, because masna masha kasba Torah, meaning you're making a condition regarding what the Torah says, that the Torah says a basula gets 200, and now you're only making it between the two of you that she's only going to get 100, that's not valid. If it's put in writing that she's saying a receipt that you paid me, so fine, that's not uprooting a halacha. It's just going with that and saying, okay, yes, you owe me 200, but you already paid up 100 of it. But if they just did it orally, then that wouldn't be valid. On that, the Gemara says, Amai, why is that? Davashe b'mamanhu. Oh, this is halacha, but it's a financial halacha. Now, v'shaminin le Rabbi Yehuda d'amma, but we already know the Rabbi Yehuda says that davashe b'mamanhu t'noi kaim. If someone makes a condition that it's in contrast to the Torah's law, if it's regarding financial law, then actually the condition is valid, even though it's going in the face of halacha. The time like Linda Brisa. If someone tells a woman, behold, you are betrothed to me, you're engaged to me, on the condition that you do not receive what the Torah says you receive, which is food, clothing, and cohabitation. So the first opinion in the Brisa says, Harezu Mekadeshes, so she's considered Mekadeshes, she's engaged to him, and V'tenoi Batel, however, his conditions that she doesn't get Shekses Vayna is nullified, and she does get Shekses Vayna. That's Divrei Meir. Behudai, he says, depends. He says, B'davash HaBemami, regarding those elements which are monetary, which are food and clothing, not cohabitation, which is not a monetary thing, T'noi Kayim, the condition is valid, even if it wasn't written, just orally that they made up amongst each other. So why in our Mishnah does he say that the woman has to write that she received half? Why can't they just say, okay, it's okay, you don't have to pay me half of it, just pay me the 100, not 200. Here we seem to say, since that's a monetary law, that one should not have to write it, even the Tanai is kind. So I think my answer is, K'sav Rabbi Yehuda, K'suba D'Rabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the halacha of a woman receiving a monetary payment when she leaves the marriage, that she gets a ksuba, that's rabbinic law. The chacham also chizik ledevrei miyis mishal Torah, you're right. Biblical law, when it's a monetary aspect, you could make a condition, but the rabbis were more stringent with their halachas than biblical law. Reason being is because they felt that people would disregard, I'd say the rabbis say this, the rabbis say that, so they needed to support that halacha even more, and therefore they said that the tanai would not work. So although it works by biblical law, by the rabbinic law, they wanted to show that this is the law, to say that you, even if you make conditions about it, to subvert it, you cannot. Now that the Gemara asks a few questions where we find rabbinic law and that they don't make a chizuk l'divrei. Because the Gemara says, Hare Peris, we have the halacha of a woman's nichsei meluk, which are properties that she holds on for herself, not like nichsei tzern bazel, which in all practical purposes, it becomes the husband's until the marriage ends. Nechsi Malog is it's really hers, and the fluctuation of the value is all the woman's. But the utility, the payris, the fruits that come out of it, the outgrowth, that goes to the husband. Now, that halacha that the husband eats the payris is only a takana dirabbanan. It's a rabbinical takana. Yet v'loy avdu l'rabbanan chizuk, but the rabbis did not make a chizuk to say, which essentially sounds like a Yehuda is saying in this halacha, that if let's say he makes a condition that, you know what, I'm not going to take the payris of Nechsi Malog. So on that, we do not find that the rabbis would say that, oh, his tanai is going to be batal. But based on what the Gemara just answered before, we're saying that by any halacha derabban, the rabbis made a chizik more than the divrei Torah, and that's why tanai doesn't work. But we find that the rabbis do not say that, and if he nullifies what he's intending, it will be a nullification even orally. That's not like we learn the Mishnah later on the Pegimel Medalf. Rabbi Huda says, if let's say a husband writes to his wife, din udvarm ainli binachsaych ubeperesen. There's no litigation, there's no rights that I have in your assets, and even in the produce of your assets. In spite of that, Rabbi Huda says, la'olam hu oichel peri peris, he will always eat the fruits of the fruits. In other words, so he can't have the nechasim or their peris, but what he could do is he could sell the peris and purchase land with the money of those peris, which then becomes principal, and then he eats those peris. Ah, sheyichtav lo, until he writes, din udvarm ainli binachsayich, that I don't have any rights, not in your assets, ube perisei, not with their peris, ube peris perisei, madoyim, or for infinity. I don't have anything to do with any of your peris. So until he writes that he has nothing to do with it at all, then he'll have from the peris or whatever it is that he didn't mention. Now, the Gemara continues Amud Beis and says that v'kaimalon, the conclusion of the Gemara later on in Perek HaKosef is that my Kosef, what does the Yehuda mean when he says that you have to write that? It really means Oimer, that as long as you say that. Now you see that his condition excluding himself from the Takana Dirabbanan of Paris, which is a rabbinic law, does work. But you just said before that although by biblical law Rabbi Huda holds that by Davish Abimamin, a Tanai, an oral condition would work, but rabbinic law, they make a Chizik Geise, then Shal Taira, then why wouldn't he say the same thing over there? That's also a rabbinic law, and therefore an oral Tanai should not work, and yet we see clearly that an oral Tanai does work. So I'm Abaye answers the question by saying, Lakol Yesh Ksuba. Every single woman gets a ksuba. Now, v'loy l'kol yesh peris. Now, not every husband gets peris, because not every woman comes into the marriage with nechse maluk. And therefore, milsa de shchicha of the barabanan chizuk. Something that was common, we find this many times that the rabbanan make their takanas by something that's common. So something that's common, like by a ksuba, so then the rabbis had to support that halacha, and hence they said, how are we going to support that, which is the halacha of a ksuba, that we cannot make a tanai, an oral condition, that the woman will only get half. But something that's not common, which is a husband of eating the peris of his wife's nechse malug, the other rabbis did not make a chizik, and therefore there he could make an oral tanai, just like you could do by biblical halacha. But the Gemara continues asking on this halacha. But harecha marim, we find the halacha of the donkey drivers, which is halacha regarding demai, which is a rabbinic law. Dishchichi, which that's a very common thing, that donkey drivers bring their produce to the marketplace and people buy from them. And v'loy avdu l'rabbanan chizuk, yet, in spite of the fact that the halacha of demai is a very practical, applicable halacha, there we find the rabbis did not make a chizuk to be concerned, as we're going to see, regarding those that are in cahoots with each other, that make a scam according to Rabbi Huda. So how can we say that Rabbi Huda's reasoning is because of asu chizik l'devarim yosem mishal taira when we find a rabbinic law where they didn't make a chizik? That's not like we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Demai. The Mishnah says, hachamorin shenichnus l'ir, the donkey drivers are coming to a city, so we don't know where they are. They're coming from far away with all their produce. V'ama echemen, now one of the two donkey drivers says, you know, shali chadash v'shachaver yashin, my produce is new, my friend's is already dried up. The old one is better because the new ones are not dried enough. So he's basically saying that, you know what, you guys really should buy from him because mine's not so great. Moreover, he's telling everybody, Shali in a mesukin. Mine, I didn't take off the appropriate types. The shachaver mesukin, my guy, ooh, he's into halacha, he's observant. He went and he took off all the types. Now, that's the time the Gemara says, Ein nemanim, they're not believed regarding the halachas of demai. Now, the chiddush of the Tanakhama is that even though he's praising his friend's produce, even in other areas, nothing to do with halacha, where he's saying it's drier, it's older, he's not believed even regarding the halacha of Tamai, because we're concerned what's called Gaimlin, we're concerned that this is their trick they do. One town he praises him, and the other town he praises him, and really they didn't take off the appropriate ties, and everything they're saying is a lie. So they're not believed, and one would still have to take off the ties as if it was Demai. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Neman, and Rabbi Yehuda says they are believed. Now, why? If the halacha of Demai is rabbinic halacha, so we should say they should make a chizik l'divrayim more than the divrei shel Torah, and therefore we should be concerned for gaimlin. If you're saying that we make a chizik, we should say, no, we're not going to believe them because there's rabbinic law, and we have to be very strict with rabbinic law because people don't take it seriously. So this seemingly contradicts that we said that Rabbi Huda's halacha of requiring it, that the woman to write it, not to say it orally, is because ksub is drabanon, but here we see a rabbinic law and they didn't make a chizik l'divrayim. So Abai answers that question too. It says, vaday did divrayim, when there's a definite rabbinic halacha that's going to be violated, like by the ksub of a woman, which they instituted to be 200 zuz, so of Rabbanan Chizik, so Rabbanan made supports for that halacha to say, no, you cannot just be Michael. You cannot make conditions, oral conditions. Look, if she writes, fine, because that's already going post the rabbinic institution. But Savik de Devrayim, but by a doubtful rabbinic halacha, of Rabbanan Chizik, the rabbis did not make a support. Because here, actually, the whole halacha of Demai is a Safik. We're not sure if the ties were taken off or not. And moreover, here we don't know if what they're saying is truth. So since it's only a doubtful rabbinic law, so there they didn't make supports. Rav Amar, he gives another interpretation. He says, actually, bidmahi kilu. He says, actually, it's even by a doubt, even if you were to say that they would even support their halacha by doubts, but by demai, they were more lenient than even the regular rabbinic suffix. Because here, actually, it's not even a doubt that maybe it wasn't typed properly, which is what the halacha of demai is, because the majority of ignoramuses actually do take off ma'aser. It was only for a concern of the minority that we make the halacha of demai. So since it's not even a suffix essentially, so because of that they were lenient. However, it doesn't contradict what we said on Amman Aleph that the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, that the woman has to write it and cannot orally say, oh, it's okay, don't worry, you don't have to give me 200, give me 100, because it's rabbinic halacha, the halacha of ksuba, and also chizik l'divrayim, yesu mishal Torah, that's saying that you cannot be, although you can be master mashal kaz of a Torah regarding davar shebe mamon, but not when it's rabbinic law. Now, the Mishnah brings the Remei Oim, he argues on Rabbi Yehuda, and he says, kol ha-poiches v'chulu, whoever diminishes from the ksuba of a woman less than 200 zuz, then it's as if he's having acts of znus with this woman. You're not halachically married, it's not valid, because a woman has to have 200. Not like Rabbi Yehuda had proposed, that you're only going to give 100, and she's writing, oh, as if I received the other 100. Now, the Gemara makes the following diuk from the words of Remeir. From the fact that Remeir did not say simpler, more straightforward terminology, that he could have said, kol besula she'en lamasayim, any besula that doesn't get 200, or an amana that doesn't get a mana, so that's be'ilaz nus. He doesn't say that. So from that, the Gemara infers, kol ha'poiches, the word to use is that whoever diminishes, what that means is, afila betna, even in the condition, meaning, even if ultimately she will be collecting the entire 200, meaning that his condition is not valid because Rameyah holds, no, you have to give 200. In spite of that, since initially when he got married, he made this condition, and she thinks this is the condition, although she finds out 20 years later when she gets divorced that she's getting the full 200, still Rameyah is calling that a be'iyah of znus. All their years that they were, so to speak, married was znus. The reason being is because at the time of when she's having be'iyah, she's not relying on getting the full kasuba, because she thinks that her husband said, look, I'm only giving you 100. Now, although the halacha is that you have to give 200, but from the words of Kol HaPeiches, if the husband is saying you're getting less, that when your mayor says that whoever is doing that is going to be as if it's acting in znus, would be even in such a case. Now, the Gemara says, Amma, so we see that kesavar tanai batal. We see that although Remeir holds that the tanai is batal, this that he made a condition on the 200 zuz saying I'm only giving you 100 or 50, it's actually not valid. And he's going to have to give 200. And still, the isla, that she's going to get to 200, And as we explained before, because if she's not going to get to 200, then there's no chiddush in using this unique terminology of kol ha'peiches. You could have just said the straightforward, if any woman does not get 200 and only gets 100, then it's nus. So, however, v'kivin de amala les lechel amana, but since he told her, you're only getting a mana, there's some chadaita, so she doesn't rely on getting the 200 anymore. Mayor saying that even then, when she, even if she gets later 200 zuz, but since she thought she's not getting 200 zuz, that's not valid halachically because she has to get 200 zuz. And if she thinks she's not, so when she's having bia, she's having a bia of thinking that she's not getting 200 zuz, which is a bia of znos. And therefore, Mayor says if someone's going to make those conditions, it's going to be as if he's having znos. Now, on that the Gemara asks. But Varshamina and Remeir the Amma, but we already quoted Remeir on Amet Alf that he says in argument with Rabbi Huda that he holds Kala Masna Masha Kasaba Torah, anything that's a condition on the Torah, even Davashaba Mamun, Tnai Batal, that the Tnai is Batal, and that the person does get what is mandated by the Torah. Now the Diuk is Habad Rabbanan Tnai Kaim, it's only if you Masna Masha Kasaba Torah. But if it's Rabbinic Halacha, then the condition is valid, so why does he say in our Mishnah? Regarding a ksuba, which is rabbinic law, that if he makes a condition, it's a biyab's nus, and moreover, that the tanai is not kaim and he has to give 200. But he says that if you are mashma because of a Torah, that it's only then that the tanai is bottle, but by drabon, then the tanai would be kaim. So the Gemara says, ksuba remeir ksuba dai raisa. Not like a Yehuda. Remeir holds that a ksuba is a biblical halacha, and since a biblical halacha, if you're being mashma because of a Torah, the tanai is bottle, and that's why he has to give the 200 in spite of that. But since he made the condition, that was the dig we made from Kol HaPeiches, that it's as if he had znus anyway. Now, related to this, Machlokes Remeir and Yehuda, the Gemara quotes Tanya, the following braisa, and adding another Tana. Remeir, he says, Kol HaPeiches lebsula memesayim, whoever diminishes from a besula from her ksuba, her rightful ksuba of 200, will almana mana, and from amana, harizu bila znus, it's considered like he's having bia of znus, meaning not marital relations. Rabbi Yisa says actually he's allowed to, and even orally the condition will be valid. If they make a condition saying I'm not giving you the full thing, it's okay. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, as he says in our Mishnah, he says, Ratza, if the husband wants, so Kaisla Besula Shtar Shemasayim, he writes for the Besula a full ksuba that's mandated of 200. He Kais Sevis Leis Kabalta B'muchamana, she writes back that I received from you already a mana. And regarding Amana, he writes Amana. She writes back, I received 50 zuz. Now, what Rabbi Huda is essentially coming to say is that you're permitted to not give the full amount, like Rabbi Yossi says. But he holds, not like Rabbi Yossi, that if it's done orally, then the tana is batal, as we just said before, because the sages were asu chizigal devrei miyosi mishotari, they strengthened, they fortified their opinions more than the biblical halachas, and therefore, if she wants to be forgiving on part of it, she would have to write a shavu, she would have to write a receipt. So those are the three opinions. Now, the Gemara asks on this new opinion, the Sever Rabbi Yisra Shai, does Rabbi Yisra really hold that they're permitted to just do away with the ksuba of 200 and they could just make the oral conditions on their own? But there's a contradiction in the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Tanakama says, Ein oisin ksubas ish metalin. You're not allowed to designate movable items for the future collection of a woman's ksuba. The reason being is because for the rectification of the world, meaning for the people that are inherent in this ksuba, meaning for the woman, because if it gets lost or it goes down in value, it's going to be a loss for the woman. So because of that, we only designate for a ksuba something that's karka, something that's there, that's permanent. But metalin, it would be a loss for the woman. Now that on Rabbi Yisi, he says, what type of a tikkun olam is this in this? Valoy in ketsuvin. But the value of movable items are not set because they go up, they go down, and sometimes they go down, lower down than their value, than which was the estimate of, let's say, the 200. Let's say he has to give her 200 zuz because she's a besula. So he takes an item worth 200 zuz. Yeah, but he says, that's not a tikkun olam to have metatlin for the woman, because many times it could go down to 100 or 50 and she's going to be a great loss. So therefore, it's not appropriate to set metatlin for her. So the Gemara has, Tanakama, Nami Enoisin Kama. What's Rabbi Yossi saying? Tanakama also said that you don't go ahead and designate metatlin for a ksuba, And the depreciation of the value of the movable item is also included in Tikkun Olam. So what's Rabbi Yossi saying more than Tanakama? They both agree, Metalin is not good because of Tikkun Olam. So Gemara says, El Lav, rather, what's the Tana the Brice is saying? That Hochekama, this is what he's saying. That Bamedim Ramurim, when did we say this halacha of the Tanakama? That's Bishle Kibul Lavach Rais. That's when the husband did not accept responsibility for this movable item, that if it gets lost or something happens to it. So that's why the Tanakama said that when they tikkun ha'olam, you can't set aside movable items because they could easily get lost or something could happen to it. But land is always going to be there. Al kibul of achray is, but the Tana of the Braisa is explaining by quoting this as a machlekes is that if the husband did accept responsibility for it, then eisen, then you could make metatlin as the set place where the woman could collect her ksuba from, because the Tanakam is not concerned for the depreciation of the value of the movable items, only if something's going to happen to it. If something happens to it, he accepts the responsibility. What's the difference? Now, in that verse, Rabbi Yisrael Neiman, that's Rabbi Yisrael comes to argue and says, Ki kibul lavachrayis amayis, and even if the husband accepts the responsibility, why could he make Metatlin as the designated place for her to receive her ksuba? What type of a tikkun olam is there with that? Because of a haloi, because even if they're still extant and they didn't get lost, but in kutsuvin upaychsin, but they don't have a set amount of movable items, they easily, the stock goes up and down much easier with movable items than with land. And since they could go way low below the price, it's not an appropriate place to designate for the woman to collect from. Now that thing concludes the question. Now, hashto, take a look at this. Uma hasam, if over there, the dilma pachsi, if that we're, it's maybe that the value of the movable item will go down, and hence that maybe the woman will lose from her ksuba. Chai Shab Yasi, Rabbi Yasi's concern, this is no, we cannot designate movable items with Tatlin for her to collect her ksuba because maybe it's going to go down and maybe it's going to cause a loss for her ksuba. Sahacha Devada Kapachsa. So here we're most definitely she's going to be losing from her ksuba because maybe even half the ksuba she's saying, yes, don't worry, you don't have to pay me. Loi Kolshkein. Isn't it all the more so, Kavochema, that he should not be able to do that? If he can't even designate Metaltlin, which is because maybe she'll lose money, and even if hypothetically she agrees to collect from Metaltlin, we say no. So here where she's for sure losing it because she's saying it's okay, you don't have to give me the whole ksuba, isn't it all the more so that he cannot do that? So the Gemara answer is, Hachi Hashta, are you comparing the two? Hasam lo yada de tachom. There, by allowing him to designate Metatlin as the place where she collects her ksuba, she doesn't know finances. She doesn't know that she's forgiving on certain money of the ksuba because she doesn't realize that what today is 250 could tomorrow be 75 and she's going to lose out 125 from her ksuba. Here she knows and she's forgiving. She's saying, it's okay. You don't have to give me the messiah for the ksuba. So on that, Rabbi Yisi says, that's not a problem. That doesn't contradict Rabbi Yisi's other halacha, which when she doesn't know, we institute certain things, yes, even if we're concerned that maybe it's going to cause a loss. But when she knows, she definitely could be meichel from her ksuba.